1 Kings chapter number 17. This is a well-known portion of Scripture. This chapter starts off where Elijah's by the brook. God sends ravens to feed him. And there's a drought throughout the land because of the wickedness of the king. But God's still taking care of his man. And can I say, it don't matter what's going on in this world, God still knows how to take care of you and I.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful. I mean, you know, it's not ideal to sit by a brook and wait for a dirty bird like a raven to bring you food. But I promise you one thing, when them ravens showed up in the mornings and the evening, Elijah was glad to see them. Huh? And God knows how to take care of us. And I'm thankful for that. And I want to pick up reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of that of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." Let's pray. Our Father, we sure do bless your holy name. We enjoyed the good singing, Lord. And God, thank you for blessing us with that good singing. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our church with good talent. God, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for the good testimonies. And thank you for being a good God. Now, Father, I pray for the next few minutes you'd help us, that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts. That, Lord, the message would register also in our heads. And God, we'd grasp and understand a little bit more about the workings of God. Now, Father, you know where we stand and what we stand in need of. And so, Father, we just ask, as that lyric of that song said, help us to seek your face before we seek your hand. Now, Father, I pray you'd bless those that are working with our children on the other side of the building, those working with the teens. And God, bless their efforts. God, be with little Samantha as they had to take her to the ER. God, we pray for her that you'd touch that little baby and that all would go well there. Now, Father, help your people. Lord, edify them. Glorify your name's sake. We'll thank you and bless you for it's in the wonderful and holy name of the Lord Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want you to look in verse number 9. This is not in the introduction. It's not in the message. I'm just going to give you a little heads up. And Lord willing, Brother Sidney Weaver is going to be here preaching for you in a couple of weeks. And he may preach out of this verse. And if he does, I don't want you to be surprised. But he may preach out of verse number 9 where it says, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have a command, a widow woman there to sustain thee. He's got a message on being in your there place. All right? So you might get that. I don't know if you will. But you might get that. And if he preaches that shoe message, somebody smack him. He's not supposed to preach that till I'm back around. I only heard that one time, and that was phenomenal. Brother Lawrence about took flight on that message, and we had a time on that. So, Lord willing, Brother Sidney be here, and he might preach on that being there in your there place, and that'd be a help to you. It's a good message. I've heard that one, like all his other ones, about 20 times, all right? But anyway, I want you to look and notice some things as a way of introduction. The first thing I want you to notice is the dire situation. Notice the dire situation in verse number 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I mean, what an outlook on life. I mean, she said, we got just enough meal and enough oil to make a little cake. I only need two sticks. We're going to eat it and die. Now, if that's not dire, I don't know what is. What a blessing. Boy, we're going to make a lot of plans. We're going to eat this little cake and die. I mean, it's dire. There's been a drought in the land. There's a famine in the land. How dare this preacher ask for a little water? Nobody's got water. Nobody's got anything to eat. There are people dropping like flies all around Israel because of a wicked king and his wicked wife who've rebelled against the things of God, who are celebrating and worshiping idols and the doctrines of Baal. And I'm here to tell you, God's not been pleased. The man of God shows up and says, hey, woman, bring me a cake. And she said, we got just enough to eat and die. That's a dire situation.
Yes, sir.
You might be here tonight thinking things look bleak around your house. Well, just hang on, neighbor. We see a dire situation. Now, notice the demand. Isn't it just like a big-headed preacher right here? This is a preacher talking right now. Look at the demand in verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Isn't that just like a preacher? Before y'all can go eat a Cracker Barrel, we're going to take up an offering. Isn't that just like a preacher? Everybody thinks the offering all goes to the preacher. But you know, who is this guy? This woman just said she's got enough meal and enough oil to make a little cake and die. And he says, well, go ahead and do that, but before you die, make me a cake. And that's what he said, make me one first. So he said, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. The nerve of this guy. Who's he? Put these demands. Well, you should have seen some of them people this morning saying, look at the nerve of this guy. Look at what he's preaching. I just watched Joe Osteen. He said everything's great. You didn't know I was a prophet. I believe while I was preaching, I said that some of them didn't have enough conviction to come back tonight. Where are they?
Yeah,
preached a message years ago on where are the nine? Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one came back and gave glory. Where are the nine? I can preach that message tonight. Where are they? I can tell you where some of them are. And I can tell you where they need to be.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen. But he's making a demand of this woman. It goes on there in verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God. Uh-oh. All of a sudden we find out this isn't Elijah's request. He has been sent there for a reason.
Amen.
He said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I want to tell you something. If God never sent rain again, that meal barrel would still have meal in it today.
Yes, sir.
Can I say, now all of a sudden we see this isn't a smart-aleck preacher wanting his plate full first. He is teaching a principle here to this woman. The same principle that Malachi gives us. That if we bring our tithes into the storehouse, God said, prove me now if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Jesus taught the same principle, that give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken, bubbling over shall men give unto your bosom. The principle being taught is you give God your first.
Yes, sir.
And your best fruits.
Yes, sir.
And watch and see that God blesses you beyond your understanding. We see the dire situation. We see the demand. Now notice the devotion. Look at verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Look at this devotion. She knows she don't have enough meal or enough oil in them vessels to sustain this man and her son. But yet she has enough faith to do what God said to do.
Amen.
Can I say, when it's out of your control, it's still not out of God's control.
Amen. Yes,
and if we'll just be faithful to do what God says, yes. There's no limit to what He'll do for us. The problem is when we get to questioning God and we only do it haphazardly or we don't do it at all.
Yes, sir.
She did according to the word of the Lord through Elijah. She did it. What devotion. Can I say? I've watched people that just were obedient to God and I've watched God bless. And I've watched people say, well, that's just the preacher's opinion, and I've watched them struggle. Now notice the dividends. Look at verse 15 again. The Bible says that she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which spake by Elijah. Notice the dividends. When you put God first and you're faithful to do what God says to do, there's no limit to what God will do for you. The Bible said many days they ate. The Bible says that the meal barrel didn't cease being, having meal in it, and the cruse of oil always had oil. And I don't believe she went over and she looked and the meal barrel looked like it was full. I believe it looked just as empty as it did that day that she said it didn't have any in it. But she just reached down in there by faith, and every time she come up with enough meal to fix whatever she needed to fix.
Amen.
I believe that cruse of oil looked empty. She probably shake it, didn't hear anything, but she turned it upside down and out come oil. Huh? Why? Because God honors His word. Huh? See, just every day she went to that meal barrel, and every day she grabbed that cruse of oil. She did it by faith. And can I say, God always honors faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And boy, we get that part of the story. It's wonderful. But I want you to notice the disaster. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Now, we don't know how long this took place, but we do know that for many days that her and Elijah and her son did eat. But there came a day. There came a day when, my dear friends, her son took sick and there's no breath left in him. We'd call that today dead. What a disaster. What a disaster. And I want to preach on this little widow woman of Zarephath and her devotion and the dividend she received. I want to preach on this thought. Yet trouble came. Yet trouble came. Can I say, first of all, that trouble came in the midst of her faithfulness? She was faithful. I don't know about you. Somebody knocks on my door and said, hey, why don't you give me the last meal you got to eat? I'd probably send them on down the way. I said, well, you need to go up there in Oak Brook. Ray's got plenty in his storehouse. Go see him. No. She entertained him. Then she gave him before she gave her own self and her own son, and she received the dividends of it. She was faithful. She was faithful to trust God every time she went to that meal barrel, and every time she grabbed that cruse of oil. This woman was faithful. But in the midst of her faithfulness, trouble still came. Listen, sometimes bad things happen to good people. How come it is? You see, folks that are faithful to the house of God, folks that are faithful to pray, folks that are faithful to give. When you have extra things, go around the church. They're the first ones there. When you need things done, they're the first ones to sign up and do it. They just don't love God on their shirt sleeve. It's evident in their life. They love God. They're faithful to the things of God. Yet you have someone just blow in, blow out when they want to. Never engage. Never get involved. Never ever seem like they put God first. And yet nothing ever happens to them, but that faithful one has trouble come their way.
Sure.
Yet trouble came even in the midst of her faithfulness. Can I say trouble came while it was yet fair weather? Things were going good around her house.
Yes, sir.
I can't say that for everywhere else in Israel. But just like down there at that brook, things went good down there until God said, the brook's drying up, you go down there to Zarephath. Went down there, things were going good down there. I mean, it was fair weather. There wasn't no storm clouds going on in her house. There wasn't looking bleak around her house. Things of business had picked up right before the man of God got there. She grabbed a couple of sticks and said, we're going to eat this boy and die. But now for many days, the sun's been a-shining. Hey, God's been on the throne. Everything's been good. It's fair weather. There is no storms brewing around there. Yet trouble came. Can I say? There are some people, and I don't mean to be unkind, but there's some people that always seems like they're under a cloud. You know them people? You know them people when they walk in, you go the other direction because you just don't want to listen to it. You know, I'm in a good mood. I don't want to be brought down again. And every time I talk to this person, everything is terrible. You ever know people like that? You know, they just seem to live under a dark cloud. Can I say a lot of times that's their own making? Can I say there's two sides to everything? Some people look to see the glass half empty, some look to see it half full. Are you listening? There's some people that want to major on the negative. There's some people that always want to play that storm cloud in their life problem. They always are down and out. They're always low. They're always, you know, there's been some that hadn't been here this week. They weren't here Wednesday. They'll come in Wednesday night, and they'll be walking on their lower lip talking about how bad it's been, hey, I want to tell you something. A lot of that's their own making.
Sure it is.
It's true. I'm talking about somebody that, man, you're around them, and boy, they elevate your spirit, make you feel better about you being saved and about yourself. I mean, folks that just are an encouragement. There's just some people that are just a blessing to hang around.
Amen.
This lady's one of them people, and yet trouble came.
Yeah.
Can I say this? Despite the fountain of blessings, trouble came. I mean, how more blessed can you be? The cup is empty, but every time you go to it, you got enough to eat.
Yeah,
I mean, there is a true fountain of blessings running through her house.
Yep.
Matter of fact, if I'd been her neighbors, I'd have probably come over and say, hey, sis, you got any to spare? She said, let me see. And she said, well, the cupboard looks empty, but I'll reach in there. Oh, look, we got some meal and some oil, huh? I mean, they're just a fountain of blessing running through this lady's house. I mean, everybody else is looking for something to eat. They run into her and say, hey, have you seen anything? Are you hungry? Have you found anything to eat? She said, oh, I'm full. It's been good around our house. I mean, God's been taking good care of us, huh?
Amen.
And despite the fountain of blessings, trouble came. Listen, I've known folks, they're just so wonderful and so giving and everything and just want to be a part of it. And I mean, they're just always doing something for somebody else, and then trouble comes knocking at their door. I mean, listen, let's just be honest. Can we be honest tonight? If you was God, don't you think you'd send them trouble shots to people that aren't faithful? Don't you think those ones under the dark clouds, you'd really crack some lightning and thunder in them dark clouds, really show them how bad it could be? Don't you think that the folks that are always taking advantage of the blessings of God, you'd stop their blessings? That's not this lady. I mean, this lady is a model believer in God, and yet trouble came. That's hard to understand, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we'd be the one. I mean, Mr. Sorry No Good, he'd get a whole lot of trouble coming his way. Those that are loving God and seeking God, it seemed like we'd put a little extra handfuls of purpose on their plate, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yet trouble came. Can I say this? Trouble came, but not without the Father watching. These troubles didn't catch God by surprise.
Sure.
That boy dying didn't catch God by surprise. God's been right there all the time. He's been watching over the whole situation. Can I say this? The Bible says that God does all things well. The Bible said God lets it rain on the just and the unjust alike. And can I say that God, being God, lets it know that there has to be an even balance, that even good people have to have bad things happen to them. But God watches over everyone. Miss Brittany sings that song about God watches over the sparrows. If he watches over a goofy bird that has no redeeming quality and he attends every one of their funerals, don't you ever think for a moment that God's not watching over you. Even when trouble comes, God hadn't forsaken you. He's probably drawn a little closer. Now, let me give you something tonight, because I know who's here tonight. I know the faithful crowd's here tonight. I know that folks that have a testimony of loving God's here tonight. I know folks that have had the blessings of God in their life are here tonight. And I know that you're subject to have trouble come knocking at your door. Let me give you a couple of things when trouble comes. When trouble comes. Can I say, Jesus said, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. You know, sometimes just bad things are going to happen. You say, is it coincidence, is it accident or chance? No, nothing catches God by surprise. In order for it to get to you, it has to go through God's hands, because you're in God's hands. But God allows things to come our lives, and oh, we can take refuge in the fact that he's promised not put more on us than we're able to bear. But that doesn't exempt trouble from coming. Can I be honest with you? I don't like being sick. Anybody like being sick? I don't ever want to get in that line, God make me sick today line. I don't want that line. I don't like it. My wife tell you I'm the biggest baby in the world. Huh? She will. She says, man, when I'm sick, man, I want to make sure everybody in the house is miserable, because I'm miserable. Huh? I don't like getting sick. Huh? Anybody like that? Anybody? What's the name of them people like being sick all the time? Huh? Hypochondriac. Help yourself. Huh? And let me just help you with something. If you get sick, don't read the internet. WebMD's full lies. You get a paper cut, you read WebMD, and man, you'll be picking out your casket the next day, huh? You know. And let me help you out something else. Let me just help you with something. My wife has been a nurse for over 30 years. My wife is not a doctor. Now, she tells most of the doctors where she works what to do, because some of them are pretty, you know, crippled too high for crutches. But don't come and show her your paper cut and say, what should I do about this? You know what she's going to take? Go see the doctor, huh? That's above her pay grade, okay? All right? She'll give you some advice, but she's always going to tell you to see the doctor. Because her medical license is in the balance here, and if she tells you to do something, you do it, and you sue her, she's not going to be a nurse no more, and then we can't pay off your lawsuit. So just go see a doctor, all right? She'll get texts at 10:30 at night. My kid's running 106 fever. What should I do? Take him to the ER. Don't call me. Or if you're going to call my wife, pay her. She didn't ask me to say any of that, but I kind of felt like that fit right there, huh? Listen, when I'm sick, you know what she tells me? Go see the doctor. So she don't give me a break. She's not giving you one, all right? Well, what do you do when trouble comes? I mean, I don't like being sick. I don't like pain. Anybody like pain? I felt a lot this morning. I wasn't liking that swing set. I don't like pain. I don't want to get in that pain line. I don't like heartache. I don't like that line. I don't want to get in that line. I don't like stuff breaking and you got to get it fixed line. I don't like any of that stuff. Well, if you're normal, unless you're some kind of masochist, you don't like that stuff either. But Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. You're going to face some problems and trouble's going to come your way sooner or later. So what do we do when trouble comes? I've got three things, I'll be done. When trouble comes, first of all, you've got to consign it to the Lord. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Can I say, when trouble comes, the first thing you need to do is consign it to the Lord. She brought that boy to Elijah, and she chewed Elijah out and said, hey, we was prepared to die, and then you come along, and God's been a blessing. Now look what happened to my son. And he says, give him to me. She's just being a good loving mother, by the way. He said, give him to me, and she gave him to the man of God. Can I say, when trouble comes, it's too big for you, and it's too much for you to control. You've got to learn to give it to the Lord. You've got to consign it to the Lord. You've got to give it to the Lord. Can I help you with something? If you carry trouble around with you, trouble will destroy you. I've known people, Brother Bob, something happened to them 20 years ago, they're still carrying it. You'll never get healing over it until you give it to God. You can carry it, and you can carry it, and you can carry it, and you'll get bitter, and you'll get cold, you'll get indifferent, you won't trust God, you'll never enjoy the blessings of God, you'll never have the joy of God, because you're carrying around that stinking trouble that's too big for you. Amen. You've got to consign it to the Lord. Can I help you something? It's real good when you first see first signs of trouble, just go ahead and give it to God. The longer you have it, the more messed up you're going to be. Just give it to him. She didn't wait 4 or 5 days till her boy was good and dead before she gave him to the man of God. She grabbed him up and took him to Elijah. And can I say, that's what we need to do. We need to gather up all that trouble and take it to the Lord. We need to consign it to the Lord. When trouble comes, not only do you consign it or give it to the Lord, can I say this? You need to call upon the Lord. Look what happens in verse number 20. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Now he's not being mean. He's not being disrespectful. He's asking the Lord a question. Can I say it's okay to ask God a question, and it's just not okay to question God? Let me say that again. That went over a lot of your people's heads. It's okay to ask God a question. It's just not okay to question God. He is God. He has a right, and he has a reason. He has a reward for those that follow him. But God don't answer to any of us, and we have no right to question God. But it's okay to ask God a question. If you don't understand, the Bible says, let him that lack wisdom ask of God, and God will give him liberally. It's okay to ask God, God, help me understand this. God, show me what you're doing. God, I need some help. It's okay to say, God, please show me. It's okay. Just don't question God. Can I say, he cried cried unto the Lord. And can I say, call upon the Lord when trouble comes. Do you understand one of the great privileges of being saved outside of being saved is have the access to the throne of God? Do you know Jesus is all powerful? And he's the one mediator between God and man? And he told us to boldly come to the throne of grace. We might obtain help in time of need. The psalmist said, I'll look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Yeah. And can I say, when you give it to the Lord, you need to start calling on God and say, God, this thing's too big for me. God, troubles come. God, direct me in what I'm supposed to do. I need to call upon the Lord. It amazes me. Trouble comes, you'll call your neighbors, you'll call your family, you'll call your friends, you'll call everybody, you'll call everybody in the church and want the church praying for you, but you won't call God. Why don't you call God first and then call them? There's some, they don't even let you know when they've been sick. They don't even let you know when they're hurting, because they've given it to God, and God's given them peace, and that's good enough. Listen, Brother Aaron sent me a text this morning. Some lady in Tennessee sent us some message through the churches, whatever it was on, and wanted us to pray for him. Was, you know, been diagnosed with breast cancer and going to have to go see the surgeon, going to have to go see all this and everything, and she sent this to every church in the country. I told my wife, I said, we don't know this lady. I said, but if she'd have spent the same amount of time talking to God about it, she wouldn't have to be calling all these churches and having them pray for her. Huh? Can I say, you know when you're more apt to pray? When you have a burden for the person you're praying for. You know, I could stand up here and say, you know, I got a friend who pastors in Florida, and he's got a lady in his church that's sick. Why don't you pray for her? And most would forget it by the next time you pray. But I could stand up and say, hey, we got a person in our church really going through it. Will you pray for them? And you get broken for that person, you'll pray for that person.
Sure.
But can I say something? She's putting more confidence in all these churches of people she don't even know than she's putting in God. I'd sure rather spend that same amount of time, because it was a long post and I don't know how many churches she sent it to, but I sure would rather spend that time talking to God.
Amen.
Than put my faith in Clint Howe getting hold of God for me. And I've never met Clint Howe. Now don't trust me. If I needed somebody to pray, wouldn't hesitate Clint praying for me. But she don't know Clint. Are you listening? You got to consign it to the Lord. Give it to God. You got to call on the Lord. But then we see the third thing when trouble comes. You got to continue until you hear from the Lord. Look what happens in verse 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times. He didn't just pray once. Didn't pray twice. Prayed three times. Well, that was good enough for Jesus in the garden. Are you listening? He continued in prayer three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Say, how come he didn't go four times or five times? Three was good enough. But he continued till he heard from the Lord. Can I say, sometimes you've just got to keep that thing fresh before God until you know God's heard and he's answered. Listen, the old timers used to call it this way, praying through. You just keep praying till you know heaven heard.
That's right.
And heaven answered. And when God puts peace in your soul, then you don't have trouble no more. Problem is, sometimes we get so tore up and we'll call on God, and then we're so tore up we call everybody else. Just keep it before God until God sends the answer. And when God sends the answer, you'll be like Peter this morning, laying between two soldiers just asleep. Because it's no longer trouble. It's in the Master's hand. I was thinking about that message I preached several years ago when Jesus was asleep on the ship. And them disciples think this thing's about ready to break up. I mean, it's taking on water. And somebody said, go get the Master. And somebody said, don't trouble the Master. Can I help you something? It's no trouble for the Master. He's the Master. And see, sometimes he lets trouble come our way so we get a hold of the Master. Because as long as you want to handle it, he'll let you try. But when you give it to him and you wait for him to take care of it, friend, you'll find it's no trouble for the Master. Now, what are you saying, preacher? In this text, we find a tremendous example of somebody who's trusted God, somebody who's sold out to God, somebody whose life is dependent on God, and God is blessed, and God is honoring His Word, and God is doing great things, and you think, what a wonderful story, but yet trouble comes.
Yeah.
Well, read the rest of the chapter. Blessing comes again. Can I say this? Trouble is just a springboard for more of God's blessings. Let me say that again. Trouble is just a springboard for more of God's blessings. If he never helped us, we'd never call on him. And if we never faced trouble, we'd never know that he was able to solve it.
Amen.
He'd been able to bring us through it. That he was able and well able to show even greater blessing. I mean, it's one thing that he makes her meal barrelful. It's another thing that her son comes back to life.
Yeah.
Which one do you think she's talking about in the marketplace? The meal barrel or her son who's now living again? Can I say, it's one thing to say, yeah, God blessed and put groceries on my table. It's another thing to say, God brought life back into my home.
Amen.
I'm just trying to help you something. Trouble sometimes comes so God will get more glory out of our life. I dare say probably too many people didn't know about that meal barrel and that oil. But I guarantee you everybody heard about what God did for a boy. Are you listening? Trouble may be on the horizon in your life, but I've got good news. It's not too big for God. And God is able to bless. God is able to answer. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. He's just waiting for us to give it to Him, to call on Him, and to trust Him until the answer comes. How many of you go to a drive-thru, order a sandwich, and then pay for it, and then pull off and never get it? Anybody do that? Phil, you would do that. I can see you doing that. Get down the road and say, where's my sandwich? Huh? How many can see Phil doing that? Come on, let's be honest. Go back and say, yeah, I'm a crazy nut, drove off, didn't get my sandwich. Can I have it now? No, we don't do that. Hallelujah. She needed that track more than you needed the sandwich, I promise you that, huh? I love Brother Phil. Hallelujah. Just take all the calories you missed out on, man. God's good, brother. Now, we go through a drive-thru, we order. You know what I've been ordering? I love them. Them little chicken minis at Chick-fil-A for breakfast. Oh, stars. I probably only put four in the thing. Put a whole bucket in there. Huh? You know, who goes and orders four shrimp? No, it's called shrimp feast for a reason. Let's have chicken mini feast, huh? Them things are great. That honey they put on them, little morsel of bread you get on them things. I mean, it's not even a good biteful, but it's good, huh? But listen, you go, I order my chicken minis, I pay for my chicken minis, I get my chicken minis, I eat my chicken minis. We do that. Well, what good is it to take it to God and then leave before God gives the answer? It isn't any good. But when you're sitting out under that oak and troubles come your way and you're out there talking to God, and then God speaks to your heart, you can go another day. You can come in here and tell me what God said. Huh? But many times you get done preaching, you say, I knew you was going to preach on that because God told me the other day you was going to do that. Haven't you, Chief? Because God speaks to him out there under that oak tree. I don't know about you, Junior, but I'd find out what tree he sits under and I'd go sit under it for a while. Might help you. It's helped Dad all these years. Might help you. Huh? Huh? He's got him a hallowed place out there somewhere. Hey, God does talk to him. I mean, he's told me things that's going to happen. I think he's crazy. Old guy finally lost his mind, and 2 weeks later comes to pass, and I say, no, I'm the crazy one for not listening to him. Because he's got a place that gets alone and talks to God. What good is it to put in our order and not wait for the answer? I guess got to keep it for God. What good would it have been, Miss Mary, if you only took one chemo treatment? Tell you what, you'd still have cancer. Yeah? But man, we're almost through this thing. God's good. Huh? You got to go with the ladies yesterday. I mean, God's good. Huh? Aren't you glad that He gave you peace when this all came down and He's been with you? He did. Yeah? Not one day have you been tore up because you know the Master. There's a difference. Trouble came. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who's been more faithful the last, 18 years in this church than Miss Mary. She's been faithful. Trouble came. But you know what? God's been with her. Huh? Are you listening? Oh, trouble may come. But just learn. Give it to God. Call upon God and wait till God gives you the answer. And friend, you'll find trouble may come, but trouble don't stay. Because God's bigger than your trouble. Let's all stand tonight. Maybe you need to come thank Him for delivering you from some trouble. Maybe you need to come and pray about something. Trouble might have just hit you and you just need to come. Pray about it. Maybe you need to come and just thank Him for being a good God. Maybe thank Him because your meal barrels never ran dry. Amen. Maybe you just need to come and tell Him you love Him. Maybe tonight He spoke to your heart and you need to go to somebody and just tell Him they've been a blessing. You just mind God. So I promise you one thing. He'll never let you down. He truly is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's pray. Father, we love You. I'm glad You're bigger than our trouble. And You're more powerful than our problems. God, I'm glad You're a present help in time of trouble. God, I'm glad You're for us and not against us. And You said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, God, nobody likes going through troubles. Nobody likes pain and heartache, disappointment. That's just the curse of this old world. God, we're going to a land one of these days where there'll be no more curse, there'll be no more troubles. And God, I pray, Lord, for those of our church that are facing difficulty, and hardship, and trouble, God, you'd help them. God, you'd give them peace, give them strength. God, maybe someone here tonight, trouble might be looming. They don't even know about it. I pray you'd sustain them in their hour of trouble. God, I pray you'd just get glory from it all, and you'd bless your people accordingly. Now, Father, get glory in this invitation. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' sweet and holy name we pray. Amen.